All right, if you have your Bibles, we're in the book of Matthew, and we're right at the end of the fifth chapter. And there's an interesting thing about this verse. If you notice, if you have a Scofield Bible, you'll know where it says perfect. They have a one on that. And then they go into a discussion how that perfect doesn't mean perfect. But yes, it does. In order for us to be, and we have to remember, this was written to Jews under the law. Now, if you're going to be justified by the law, all you had to be was perfect. Yeah. And since there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, and therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in God's sight, there's no one in the human family that's perfect. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's interesting. Scofield's, most of his notes are very good. And I've learned a great deal over the years from his notes. But then there are things that were kind of traditionally held to. And it seems that when you enter into that realm, the so-called scholars don't want to tread on that ground. Because if you do, you just made a Bible with notes in it that you want to sell. And if you go too far, nobody wants to buy it. Yeah. The same thing with people writing books. Yeah. If you really tell the truth. Now, let's think about ourselves. What does the scripture say? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, when we get over to the book of Romans, and let's turn over there now. And the first two chapters in Romans establish the guilt of the Gentiles, and it establishes the guilt of the Jews, so that by law, no one can be justified in God's sight. Okay? So once we've done that, I get where I want to be here. After Paul establishes the guilt in chapter 1 of the Gentiles, in chapter 2 of the Jews, then in chapter 3 he actually addresses the Roman Christians. And he says in verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? And he's talking about unsaved Jews and unsaved Gentiles. But he's speaking to the Roman Christians. And what's the answer?
No.
In no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles. And then notice that there's a change in the pronouns. Instead of first person, then it goes to the Jews, they. Both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. Now, why does he remove us from that? Because as believers in Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ made his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, and when the Spirit of God quickened that truth to our hearts and minds and gave us the faith to believe, we are now counted as holy as Christ is holy. As just as Christ is just, the scripture says of us, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So God's view of us is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Jews had major holidays. One of them was the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, they would select two goats. One goat, the priest would put his hands on the head of that goat and confess the sins of the nation of Israel upon the head of the goat. And a priest would take that goat into the wilderness to lose it. Now, that goat represents Jesus Christ as our sin bearer, who bears our sins away outside the camp, never to be remembered against us anymore. Now, the second goat was sacrificed. And again, the sins of Israel were confessed upon the head of the goat, and its throat was slit, and its blood was shed, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And then the priest, after making a sacrifice for his own sin, would make that sacrifice for the sin of the people. But the reason that the priest had to make a sacrifice for his own sin is because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, when we don't have a parallel condition with that sacrifice for the priest with our Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ is God, who became a man by means of the virgin birth, so to live as a man amongst us, as a Jew, to live under the law and do what no other Jew could possibly do, that was to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and fulfill all righteousness. And though he had no cause of sin in him and no cause of death, therefore, in him, yet he willingly gave himself up as a ransom for sin. And it's over, I can't remember which chapter, about the 14th chapter of John, the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And so with respect to us, the disciples, all believers, all the way back to Adam, the promise is, their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. Now, the Bible is one Bible. It begins in Genesis, it ends in Revelation. It's an unfolding, as Graham Scroggie, who wrote Drama of Redemption or something like that. I've forgotten the name now. But the Bible is God's unfolding, that's the word he used, unfolding drama of redemption. A drama is like a play, okay? So when we start in the book of Genesis, we have two people. First of all, we have one, Adam. And God created all the animals. He created Adam. And then he saw, this is what you call anthropomorphic language from our point of view, because God is omniscient. He knew exactly what he was going to do. So he sees that man is without a mate. All of the animals have mates, but man doesn't have a mate. So he performed the first surgery, took a rib from Adam's side, and created woman, so the woman came from the man, and we read about that over, I think it's in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that the first woman came from man, and then after the fall, then all people in the human family, male and female, are all from Adam, see? And Eve was from Adam. So that makes Adam our federal head. Well, what do we mean by that? A federal head is one who acts for all, like the federal government. So when we have the federal government under our particular system of government, they make a decision, they make a law, then whether we agree with the law or not, we're compelled to obey the law, right? Okay. So they're our federal head. Well, Adam was the federal head that plunged us into sin. We read about this also in this book of Romans. And so Adam was the federal head that plunged us into sin. Let's look at that a little bit. Turn to the 5th chapter of Romans. Now, notice what it says in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, And it's not sin. If we could read it in the Greek, it's preceded by the definite article. It's singular. So we're not talking about sins, multiple sins. We're talking about one singular sin. Wherefore, as by one man the sin entered into the world, and death, or literally the death, because it's both physical and spiritual, by the sin. So what was Eve told? Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What was Adam told? Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve was deceived, and she ate of that tree. And when she ate of it, then she gave also to her husband. As we read here, then, we see what happened. So death by the sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all not have sinned. You know, yes, we've all sinned, but we all sinned when Adam sinned. You know, throw the helping verb out because it's not in the Greek. You know, it's not in the perfect tense. It's in the aorist tense, which is a punctiliar act in time past. So when Adam ate of that tree, you ate of that tree. Because we're all, you know, in the omniscience of God, we're all from the loins of Adam. That's why I can't understand racism. Yeah, it makes no sense. We're all related. Yeah. And, you know, when we go into the Old Testament, we see certain judgments that come along. And then we have to ask the question about why do we have this judgment? Well, where there's no law, there's no transgression. So when Adam and Eve ate of that tree, they transgressed that. So by that singular sin, they plunged the whole human family into sin. And because of that singular sin, we all have a sin nature. But we can't and we don't see anybody being charged with sin other than Adam's, you know, because everybody died. Because as in Adam, what? All die. So that's also a very important, you know. We have death in the human family because not Eve, Adam. Because Eve is not the federal head of the human family. Adam's the federal head of the human family. When he sinned, we sinned. Now, when we get over in the 15th chapter of the First Corinthians, as in Adam all die, so in Christ, what? All will be made alive. So all who are in Christ have eternal life. Okay. So one man plunges us into sin, one man can take us out of sin. So that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but how? But by me, you know, we have to put these things together. And in the way they're revealed in Scripture, we can go off on a tangent here. We can go off on a tangent there. That's why we're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. See? So, continuing with verse 12, wherefore as by one man, not sin, but the sin, the particular sin of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, entered into the world, and what was the punishment for that sin? The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. So all of us die because of Adam's sin. You know, infants in the womb, die in the womb. Infants die in childbirth. Infants die before, you know, before they can talk. Okay. So people want to find fault with that. But God in his passive judgment, for example, when David had relationships with Bathsheba, the child was born. And then the child became ill. And David was praying for the child. He was, you know, basically in sackcloth and ashes. He was mourning. He was praying, Lord, that you'll be gracious and deliver the child. And then he could tell by the conduct of the servants that the child had already died. So what did David do? He took off the sackcloth and ashes. He groomed himself, cleaned himself up, and asked for a meal. But all the time that the child was ill, David didn't eat. And so the servants, they noticed this change. And they say, why? He said, well, while the child was alive, I had the hope that God might raise him up. But now that he's dead, my child will not come again to me, but I'll go to be with my child. So that tells us about the passive justification of infants that haven't reached the age of accountability. They're still covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's a just God. So coming back to this, when Adam sinned, we sinned. So death comes upon us. I know. I'm 88 years old. How long I'll live, whether I'll live under the coming of the Lord, I have no idea. I could live another 10 years. I could live another 10 seconds. We don't know. Death is an appointment. And I will keep my appointment when God has made that appointment. I don't know when it is, But I may get an inkling of it by something in my life that puts me in a condition, like we lost Debbie Jones a couple of weeks ago from liver disease. She was in the hospital and I released and then back almost immediately in the hospital and died, And Debbie was about the same age as my kids. And way back, I was out of the ministry for a while. I was trying to get enough money together to start a commercial two-way radio business. And so I was working at night in theaters as a projectionist. And Debbie happened to sell tickets in one of the theaters that I was working in. And, I became acquainted with her then, And that was long before she came to this church and was saved, I've known her, since she was a teenager. And Debbie was very special to me. But, she's home with the Lord. And you could watch Debbie deteriorating over the years. She was getting thinner and thinner. And you knew, ultimately, this isn't going to, it's actually going to be good because God's going to take her. We think of death as the end. No, death's the beginning for us as believers. So the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to depart and be with Christ is what?
Far better.
Far better. So, I lost Joanne December 6th of 2019, We were married a long time. She was 16 and a half. And I was 19 and a half when, during the Korean War, I came home at Christmas and we decided, we decided before I came home that we're going to get married because I had to get permission from my commanding officer. But we came home, got married, and then went back to the high life, living on $165 a month and paying $75 a month for rent. Trying to stretch that what little bit that was left for a whole month was at time fun. But we loved each other. We enjoyed one another's presence, and we had some great times. But now it seems like the house is empty without her, but I can't mourn the death of my wife. I haven't shed one tear, and there's nothing wrong with shedding tears, but I know how much better off she is than what she was. There's no sorrow there. And the scripture says we sorrow not as others who, what? Have no hope. Let's continue with Adam here. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Now, this brings back the thought that I was about to explain. There was only one sin that could be committed for a period of time, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then, after the flood, God imposed capital punishment. A man killed a man, so God said, if man kills a man, by man he shall be put to death. So we had two laws. And then a little bit later, he told the Jews, and I didn't see this when I was teaching about the judgment of Babel, or not Babel, but Sodom. I had never seen this before. But God at Babel said, multiply and spread abroad upon the face of the earth. Well, with homosexuality, you can't multiply. You know, male with male or female with female, there's no reproduction. The only way you get reproduction with homosexuals is if they cross the line and into the heterosexual realm. So what would happen if everybody were homosexual? They never seem to answer this question, but if they remain homosexual and don't cross the line, in a few generations, the human family is going to cease to exist. But God said, multiply and spread abroad upon the face of the earth. So that's why Sodom was judged. See? Because both of the sons-in-law of Lot were married to Lot's daughters, but his daughters were still virgins. You know? So the husbands were not interested in the wives, only to cook for them and to care for them, to wash their clothes and that type of thing. But for their sexual pleasure, they went out with the guys. Okay. And so people wonder why that judgment came, because judgment came because if you carry that forward and just stay in your lane, about 3-4 generations at the most, that's the end of the world. And people are worried about the environment. You know, well, we don't have to worry about the environment. I was thinking about that the other day. If we were taken out today, and the Antichrist would come and reign upon the earth for 7 years, then when the Lord comes and judges him, the Lord's still going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. So this whole green movement is a bunch of sour grapes. You know, grapes are green, they're sour. You know, this whole idea. But what's the idea behind it? And we can see it with all of the fraud that took place in the last presidential election. We don't know how it's going to come out just yet. But that people will do anything to stay in power. And that's all of that promising free college, promising free medical for everyone, promising all of these things that are promised, they can't possibly fulfill because there's not enough money in the world, let alone in this country, to pay for it. See? And they have no intentions of carrying out those promises. It's a matter of, I want to stay in office, and I'll tell whatever kind of lies I need to tell to stay in office. You know, and, you know, how you voted, who actually becomes our president? Well, the powers that be are ordained of God. And so whoever God has chosen for this period of time, that's how it will work out. Right now, we know from all of the fraud that Trump actually won the election. But because of the fraud, it looks like Biden. So we don't know, you know, who's going to be our next president? Whoever God intends to be for his prophetic purpose. See? And so, relax and enjoy it, folks. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, like with the nation of Israel, God would promise a judgment upon the nation of Israel because of their idolatry. But if they changed their mind, then he would, you know, keep the judgment from coming. And but if they continued doing the things that they did, they worshipped on the top of every mountain, on every hill, under every green tree, and all of their worship was based upon, it was kind of like Woodstock. It was a sexual orgy. You know, all of the gods of the ancient world were worshipped by promiscuity. You know, you didn't have to be married to the individual, just anybody. You know, that's the way it worked. And, you know, so it was very popular. Just like the hippie movement was very popular. Now you wonder why we're in the trouble we're in, because all those hippies that came up here, and we used to have a statement in Oregon, don't Californicate Oregon. Well, all of the people that are in office in Oregon now were once hippies that came out of California, or most of them. Yeah. And, you know, so that saying, I guess, it was just a saying, because it sure got screwed up somewhere along the line. All right, let's continue with this in Romans. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death, the death that came upon Adam, reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So as Adam, or as Christ is a federal head, Adam was a federal head. As in Adam all die in Christ, or all who were in Christ are made alive. And that's why when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, returning to our subject in Matthew, but we're going to go back to the third chapter of Romans. And remember, chapter 1 in Romans establishes the guilt of the Gentile. Chapter 2 in Romans establishes the guilt of the Jews. And then in chapter 3, we have the question, what advantage then hath the Jew, and all of that type of thing. Finally, in verse 9, speaking to Christians, he says, what then? Are we, as Christians, better than they, unsaved Jews and unsaved Gentiles? What's the answer? No, and no wise. In other words, none of us have an inheritance in heaven because of any good in us. We all have it because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God gave us the faith to believe that. Yeah. So God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He saw that we would have the opportunity to hear the Word of God preached. And he would, you know, then quicken the Word of God to our hearts and minds so that we could believe. But our birth was, even though God used human beings in the propagation of the gospel, our birth was because of God, not because of man. Yeah. And much of the church, you know, and I understand their zeal and all of that, and I can't think of a time as a believer when I ever had the opportunity to witness and failed to witness. Yeah. But it takes opportunity. But how many people have I ever seen saved while I was talking to them? Zero. And I've had lots of people saved under my ministry. But while I was actually talking to anyone, I've never, ever seen one single one person at that moment in time confess Christ as their Savior. Yeah. You know, am I going to witness? Sure, I'm going to witness. Yeah. I'm going to testify to what I believe. But, you know, there's a great deal of emphasis upon, especially if you go to a Bible college, you've got to be a soul winner. You know, and I think about when I was in Bible college, I never carried less than 14 semester hours. And for every semester hour, every hour in class, you're expected to do 3 hours of homework, you know. And because the GI Bill didn't pay it until after I had gone to school a whole semester and passed, then the GI Bill would pay. I think they've changed that now. So I always had to work, and I never worked less than 40 hours a week. So 40 hours a week working and 40 or more hours a week in school and doing homework. And how many hours? Yeah, after a while, you run out of time. Yeah. And then we're supposed to be out on the street knocking on doors, you know, going door to door, you know, witnessing and this. And then in addition to that, we were all required to have, you know, teach a class or do something in the local churches. See? So that eats up a lot of time. So when am I going to do all this soul winning? Yeah. And so we had a report. How many souls did you win this week? And, you know, just keep them happy. I lied and filled it out. Yeah. You know, it wasn't happening even when I was witnessing. you know, so to keep the powers that be happy, I did what all the rest of the students did. We lied, you know. But I never failed to testify. Okay. Are we better than they? No. In no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin. Now, keep this in mind with all of those Beatitudes that we read and that verse in Matthew that we just read, the last verse in the fifth chapter, where it says, okay, be ye therefore perfect. Well, the only way we can be perfect is how? By God's grace through faith. Okay. We can't be perfect because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But all of the Bible scholars say that perfect doesn't mean perfect. Yeah, I wouldn't say all of them say that, but most of them say that. Well, when you go to the Greek and read it, you know, it means perfect. In English, it means perfect. You know, in order to be accepted of God, we have to be perfect. But we don't have perfection because of anything that we do. We have perfection because God imputes the perfection of Jesus Christ to us by faith. See? So we have no power. The Jews had no power to do any of the Beatitudes. Now, there are things in there that are, you know, that we might try to do some of them? Sure. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But just remember, your salvation is not connected with whether you can or can't do them. If you think it is, you're going to be upset all the time. You know, you're not going to have the confidence and comfort that we have in Christ. You know, we have nothing to worry about. You know, and the world worries about death. But I'm getting right close to the jumping off place, and I'm not the least bit worried. You know, I'm going to live as long as the Lord wants me to live. And when, you know, whether he takes me by life at the first resurrection or by death, as with Joanne back in 2019, January or December 6th, you know. As with so many of our members, you know, we used to fill this place up. If you go and look at the board back there, we don't have all of the obituaries of people, but we've got quite a few of them back there, people that used to attend, you know. And I've outlived so many people younger than me, that have been a part of this church over the years. Okay, so is that because I'm good? No. It's just that God's not through using me yet. Yeah. And the only way he can use me is with the spiritual gifts that he gives me and by his Spirit working in me and through me, because the natural man can't do a single thing for the Lord. Okay. But then as we go on here, I lost my spot. Third chapter of Romans. Okay. So the question, after establishing the guilt of the Gentile nations of the world and the guilt of the Jews, then how about Christians? Are we better than unsaved Jews and unsaved Gentiles? No, in no way, or no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, and then we change the pronoun. They are all under sin. Why do we have to change the pronoun? Because we're no longer under sin. We're not charged with our sins. Christ paid for them on the cross of Calvary. So that's why we have to change the pronoun from we. Are we better than they are? No. But they are still under sin because they haven't trusted Christ as their Savior. As it is written, there is none righteous. How many? No, not one. Now take this back to those. Was Jesus teaching the Jews how to live? No, he was teaching the Jews that they couldn't live that way. They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we have 10 commandments, which they never kept. And we have a whole bunch of other commandments that come in the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy that they never kept either. Yeah. And the things that they, you know, they formed an oral tradition. And the church has done exactly the same thing. It's formed an oral tradition, that a touchy-feely thing that makes people feel good. We don't need that. I know I am eternally secure, and my eternal life is not dependent upon me for one thing, because even the faith that I expressed was a gift from God. You know, and through his word and the gift that he gave me the faith to believe him. You know, and he did the same thing with you if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Okay. So he goes on then. In verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, that is, both Jews and Gentiles together have become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, how many? No, not one. So what's all this self-righteousness about? You know, we have to ask that question. Why do people go around like... I won't say it, but it doesn't stink. Yeah, it's a bodily function that isn't very nice. You know, vomiting isn't very nice. Having a bowel movement isn't very nice. I'll tell you what's not any fun at all, taking a diuretic, because the first 3 or 4 hours in the morning, I can't get away from the toilet. You know, every 10 minutes. Back and forth, you know. You know, I'm not getting up during your Sunday school class because I'm bored with you, Eric. It's very necessary, because the longer I hold it, then it takes forever to go. Yeah. Somebody will be offended now because I talked about urinating in my message. No, that's a bodily function that... We all do it, you know. And, you know, if we don't do it, we're in deep trouble. Yeah. And several times, I've had to pass kidney stones, and then you can't go. And believe me, that'll make a grown man cry. You know, that, in fact, I don't know this from experience because I've never had a baby, but they tell me that the pain from passing kidney stones is far worse than the pain from giving childbirth. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Once it starts, it doesn't let up until it's done. You know, where you have contractions, and, you know, it goes, and then it becomes, as it gets closer and closer, it goes into when the baby is born, and no more pain. And that's what the scripture says. The moment the woman is through having the child, she forgets what it was all about for the joy of having a child. You know, it's a pretty amazing thing. But what God tells us about, and not us. Yeah, or not something that we dream up ourselves. So it says here, their throats an open sepulcher. In verse 13, with their tongue they've used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And when we see people get up and make some of the statements they make, it's very absolutely clear that the natural man doesn't have any fear of God, or many do not. Yeah, you know, and it says, now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Now the Jews made a covenant relationship with God based upon law, but did any Jew other than Jesus Christ ever keep the law? No. Did Moses? No. Did Joshua? No. Did the prophets, Jeremiah, you know, no. Did any man ever keep the law other than Jesus Christ? No, because we don't have the capability of doing it. See, Christ, who is God incarnate by means of the virgin birth, had the capability of doing it because he's God. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. I memorized this in Greek, but if I say it to you in Greek, you won't want to know what I'm talking about. Just a little bit. In archein halogoskaya. Halogoskaya proston theon. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was who? Actually, if we could read it in Greek, reverse it. And God was the Word. See? And then it says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Jesus Christ created this universe. God created this universe. You know, the Holy Spirit created the universe. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. You know, all active in creation. Okay. So, you know, we need to keep these things straight, because if we don't, and I will go next week back to Matthew and continue to read things that Jesus preached to Jews under law. And are they the right thing to do? Yes. Do we have the capacity to do them? Oh, we might do a little bit, but the law requires perfection. So if we fail in one point of the law, what? We're guilty of all. Now, we as believers can't be guilty of all, because Christ took our sins upon him on the cross of Calvary and paid for them. You know, he paid for the sins of the whole world. So in reality, the world will not be judged for their sins. What is the world going to be judged for? What they think is good. They're going to be judged according to their works. Go back and read the Great White Throne Judgment. You know, the books are going to be opened, and these are all books of works. And you tried to do this, you tried to do that. And the last book that will be opened is the Book of Life, and their name won't be there. And so they'll be cast in the lake of fire. So no matter how you live your life, it will not take you to heaven. That's the lie of the devil. Elohim doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be like Elohim, knowing what? Good and evil. Yeah. Now, what is the knowledge of good and evil? And with this, I'll close. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death. What seems right to man? That my good outweighs my bad. What do we call the knowledge of good and evil? We call it morality. What are all of the religious systems of the world based upon? Man's morality. What's the difference between biblical Judaism and biblical Christianity? We can't live to God's standard. We need a vicarious atonement. It was portrayed in the animal sacrifices, but provided in the one sacrifice for sin by Jesus Christ forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And as we look at these things, yes, they're the right things to do, but we freely admit that we haven't the capacity to do them. You know, it's always better to do good than to do evil, but we can't do good to this level of satisfying your holiness, righteousness, and justice. Therefore, let us all who are believers in Jesus Christ rest in the grace of God. And, of course, we'll be accused of sinning, that grace might abound. And Paul said of the people who say that about us, whose damnation is just. We praise you and thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.